Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
So welcome to Real Life Ministries. If you're new with us, absolutely glad to have you. We've been doing a series called Anxious for Nothing, and we've been going through the book of Philippians. Anxiety is something that impacts each of us, one form or another, or many forms. One of the hallmarks of being a disciple of Jesus, a mature disciple of Jesus, is how we navigate and work in anxiety. And because we live in a broken world, and Jim's been talking about this, and so has Sam, and how you and I navigate this anxiety. And we're going to be talking about that and closing up this series today with that. So over the last couple weeks, from Max Lucado's book, Anxious for Nothing, there's an acronym called CALM. And it's celebrate God, that's your C, ask God for help, that's your A, leave your concerns is your L, and what we're going to talk about today is meditation, and think on good things. So I want to read you out of Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, and you will see where that acronym comes into play. And so anytime I read an epistle, a letter to the, you know, to a church, when you hear book of Philippians, it's a letter to the church in Philippi. And for me, I hear it and it's like Paul's writing a letter to me because I am the church, I'm part of the church. And I believe what's in those letters is absolutely necessary for us to equip us to be who we need to be in this world and be who we need to be with each other and with God. And so here we go. So rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. So Paul's writing this, and he's in prison when he's writing this, and he's reminding the church to rejoice. That's our celebrate. We celebrate God, even in the worst situations. And it wasn't long after this that Paul was executed. Paul was executed in Rome. He had his head cut off. And he knew what was coming down the road, but he still knew to rejoice. He saw a bigger picture than what's just here. And he's reminding us, the church, to rejoice, to celebrate God. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Ask God for help. It's not easy, maybe for some of us to ask. For me, it's been a challenge as I've been following Jesus for darn near 30 years now to ask for help. It doesn't come natural. But he's reminding us not to be anxious to anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present my requests, my concerns to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we ask God for help, and then we leave our concerns behind with God. And that's what Jim talked about last week, is leaving things behind. And oftentimes, if I leave something behind, I have a tendency to want to still pick it up and, I don't know, grind over it, complain about it, whatever it is. And we're reminded to leave this behind. And then we're going to tackle the M here. Meditate. Then Paul says this. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you've learned or received or heard in me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so that's our meditation. And so today we'll be talking about that. One thing, well, there's lots of things. One thing I love about Real Life Ministries, and this happened 15 years ago when I first came here, I heard our vision. And it changed my life. It changed the trajectory of my life. And I heard this. I heard that we exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. I remember thinking, how in the world are you going to reach all those people? Then he said, this is our mission, to create biblical disciples in a relational environment. And it made sense to me. We can reach the world for Jesus one person at a time, and we're going to do it by creating biblical disciples. And so the reason I'm saying this as a disciple is one who's following Jesus, one who's being changed by Jesus, and one who's committed to the mission of Jesus. So as we listen to this message, we listen to God's word, I want us, those of us that know Jesus Christ, to have a disciple mindset and to listen to God and what he has to say to you. I'm, even though I'm preaching, I'm listening to my own sermon. I've been listening to this a couple times now, and I need to hear it. And so as a disciple of Jesus, we're going to listen and we're going to follow Jesus. And as we spend time knowing him and practicing and serving and being the church, we're going to be changed. And as we do that, we're going to be about his mission. So with that in mind, here we go. I want to read to you out of the Message. It's a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson. But I want to set this up for us on what anxiety is and what it looked like for the Apostle Paul. And as a minister and as an apostle, he faced anxiety. He had to deal with it just in his life. And the reason I want to read this is because as we go through these things, Paul knows what he's talking about. So he's this guy that's constantly talking about peace, talking about joy, talking about rejoicing, yet you're going to get a snapshot of what his life has looked like. So in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29, I'm reading out of the Message. Here's what Paul says. He goes, I've worked much harder. I've been jailed more often. I've been beaten up more times than I can count. At death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews 39 lashes. Beaten by Roman rods 3 times. Pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and year out. I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends and foes. Anybody in here ever struggle with your friends or foes? Huh? I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those that I thought were my brothers. Some of us have been betrayed in here, huh? Hurts. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather, and that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches, when someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my bones. When someone is duped into sin, an angry fire burns in my gut. So I think Paul, in his vulnerability, he's letting people in to what his life's like. He's not complaining. He's going, this is what it's like. He's taken his beatings. He's been martyred. He's been beat up, not martyred, but he's been treated, persecuted. He's had friends betray him, leave him. He's been heartbroken. And he said, and that's not the half of it. On top of that, the daily pressures of the church. And I could go like this, the daily pressures of my family as a father or as a mother, or the daily pressures of my relationships. Because his heart ached when somebody was having a problem or when somebody was, like I said, duped into sin. He just burned because he wasn't mad at the person. He's just ticked off that this is happening again. And he sees the pain and the hurt in people's lives when people go off the reservation or go off the trail. And he's sharing this with him. And so he does experience anxiety. Anxiety is a very real feeling that impacts all of us, maybe differently, but it impacts all of us. You know, here's some things that cause anxiety. Kids. Everybody's laughing? It's that nervous laughter. You kind of know what I'm talking about. Kids can be heartbreaking. Not that there's anything wrong with our kids. It's just like we've been down the road and I see things. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I want to change. You know, I head you off at the pass. Because I love my boys. You love your kids with all your heart. Marriage can create anxiety. Is there any nervous laughter there? Marriage can create anxiety. Just relationship in of itself. Not met expectations, whatever, or wanting to change a person. And they're not changing how I think they need to change. And so I build up anxiety and I try to take control of things. My job, finances, health issues. I go on and on. There's no end to the things in this broken world that can bring anxiety. Then there's just the medical condition. Some people just have medical issues with anxiety. And Jim talked about that, and so does Sam. So it is a real feeling that we all deal with. And that's why I wanted to read this passage out of Paul, so you can see, you know, Paul's a great man in the Bible. I believe Jesus struggled with anxiety. When I see Jesus in Gethsemane praying to God, and really grinding out. There was anxiety there. Anxiety doesn't mean you're bad or wrong. You're just in it. And sometimes it does feel hopeless. We want to try to overcome some of that today. So I want to share a story with you that's not quite so hopeless. Hopefully it's a little more entertaining than, but I mean, my first time I was ever on the stage, I experienced anxiety. And so about 7, 8 years ago, Jim said, "Hey, Keith, I want you to do announcements." And I go, "Announcements for what?" And he goes, "During service." I go, "Why?" And he goes, "Because I want you to preach eventually." And I'm like, I'm like, okay. Now, being men's pastor, I can talk to the guys. There's no timing. We just had breakfast. It's a whole different ball game. So I came up, I was standing right there, and I knew I had to do communion announcements, and you got 30 seconds for this, a minute for that, and I was losing track of time already, and I hadn't even started. And I got up here, and I was sweating, and I forgot why I was on the stage. And I walked right back down those stairs. I left. I don't know, some of you might remember that. And Jim was down there, and he's like, "Get back up there." I'm like, "Oh." So I go back up, and I fumbled through it. It was terrible. And I got done. I'm like, "In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go back off." And Jim grabbed me and pulled me back on stage. I'm like, "Oh, my God." Here's what he did. It was brilliant. He goes, "Didn't Keith do a great job for the first time on stage?" And everybody's like, yeah, right? Then he goes, and you guys need to hear this. This is important. He goes, "Thank you for being a church that's raising up future pastors, future preachers, and future church planters. You guys are doing that, and you're doing it now, and we do it all the time. We have a preaching team." I'm gonna tell you right now, being up front, there's anxiety that can come with that. The first time I spoke at a men's breakfast, I was hoping I'd have a blowout in my truck. I'd drive off the road and be stuck, and I wouldn't have to go to breakfast. I'd talk some other time. So there's this anxiety, but here's what I wanna say. Here's the good part about anxiety. As a disciple of Jesus, if I will see anxiety for what it is, and I'm just being in general when I say this, for me, I press into God. And I work through the anxiety. It doesn't make anxiety necessarily go away, but I'm not doing it on my own. And so I do that hard or challenging thing. And the next time, it might be hard and challenging, but I get used to things. What it does is that's called maturity. I begin to mature, even in the hard stuff. I still experience anxiety. It comes. But I want to give us some practices as disciples that will help us overcome anxiety. I got 4 practices I want to talk to you about. Number one is meditating and thinking. That's number one. Number two is going to be talking, praying, and singing. Number three is listening. We got that right there. Number three. And the last one, number four, is practice taking thoughts captive. So we're going to go over 4 of these. So let's start with our first one, thinking and meditating. Before I get into it, I'll just tell you the story. I'll go this direction this time. I was reading an article. It was May 2nd, 2014 in the LA Times. And it said that 1 hour television, on average, there's 15 minutes and 38 seconds of commercials. 15 minutes and 38 seconds of commercials. And so I decided to read the book of Philippians out loud at a cadence at about like this is how I read the whole book out loud. And I set my stopwatch. Or I didn't have stopwatches on my phone. But anyway, 13 minutes, 2 seconds it takes to read the book of Philippians. That's 4 chapters. Out loud, slow. I got to thinking, 1 hour of television, I get 15 plus minutes of commercials. Social media, you get a lot more than that. Here's why I say this. The only reason commercials are on television or social media, there's commercials, they want to convince you of what you don't have, what you need, what you want, what you need to be dissatisfied with, what will satisfy you, where you need to go, where you need to not go, who you need to talk to, who you need not talk to, what you should smell like, what you should look like. And it's everything other than what you are. What you should drive, why you should drive it, what it's going to do for you. And they all fall short every single time. But there's a constant, and you guys need to hear this, there's a constant demand for your attention and your affections in this world. And it is on social media, and it is on television, it is on billboards, and in magazines, and wherever I go. I'm not saying don't ever watch television. That's what I'm saying. What I am saying is what am I going to meditate on and think about? And again, I said, we're going to listen to this from the perspective of a disciple of Jesus Christ. So to think on, when Paul says to think on, you guys can all do what I'm going to tell you. You can go online and you can go to Bible Hub or BibleGateway.com and you can look up Strong's Concordance, you can look up lexicons, all those things, and find out what these words mean and do some little word studies. That word think on basically means this: to take into account or reason to a logical conclusion. So with that in mind, I want you to hear this. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Well, if I'm going to think about something through its logical conclusion, I'm actually going to spend some time. I'm not just going to blow through it and go, that's nice, I did my Bible reading for the day. I'm actually going to work it out. I'm going to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to work through this. That word meditate. In the Hebrew, I'm going to hope I pronounce it right, it's dagah. Looks like huggah, but it's dagah. And in the book of Isaiah, that word meditate would be, have this in mind, like a lion kind of growling or moaning over its prey. And so if I meditate on God's word day and night, David will use that. Or to meditate, think on something. I'm going to actually, on God's word, I'm going to spend time chewing on it. I'm going to think about it. I might even make funny sounds as I'm thinking about it. Actually, I do. I get teased about that all the time. But I want to chew this up. I want to take it in. I want to be nourished by it. I want to get all of it that I can. That's different than just reading through stuff. And there's a reason we do this. The reason I do this, I want to know God. I don't want to just know about God. There's a big difference about knowing God and knowing about God. A lot of people know some things about him. As a disciple, we want to know him. And he set it up for us to know him. Romans 12, 1 and 2, one of my favorite passages. Therefore, brothers, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual, some versions say your reasonable act of worship. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of this world? Don't be conformed. Don't be like, don't get comfortable with. Here's the pattern of the world. What's mine is mine. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to angle, I'm going to maneuver, I will shuck and jive and juve, whatever, to take care of me. I will cheat on my taxes, I'll lie about things, I will move things around, I will talk bad about people. Oh, and I will worry and try to control things I can't control. I don't know if anybody in here identifies with any of those things, but that's the pattern of this world. That's how the world runs. Scripture's telling us, but be transformed, be changed into something completely different than you are by the renewing of your mind. You and I, and I know a lot of you people I can see out here, we have literally been transformed into a different person over the years as we change how we think and listen to God and his word. And intentionally think differently. You know, Jim did the analogy having a cup on his head last week. And he's like, what's in your cup? And he goes, you dump out the bad stuff. Well, you got to put something back in. That word meditate doesn't necessarily mean empty your mind. This is a rhetorical question. What do you fill your mind with? As I have grown and I'm more and more being, what am I want to put in my mind? I want to think on these things. So that first one is thinking and meditating. Our second one is talking, praying, and singing. I'm going to read to you out of 1 Peter chapter 5. So Peter writes this, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand. Humble. I hate being humble. That means I need something and I can't figure it out on my own. There's this thing in me that wants to figure everything out and do it myself. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Or in his time, not my time. So things are starting to change now. In due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, growing up, I grew up, you don't complain about something, or I'll give you something to complain about. You don't cry. I'll give you something to cry about. And so in my mind, over all those years, I actually believed that. And so as I grow, and then I come to know Jesus, and I'm still growing. One thing I never complained to God. I never told him anything that was going on. I didn't cry about it. I'm just going to figure it out. That's the pattern of this world, isn't it? We have an invitation from the living God to cast all, Keith, come cast all your anxiety on me. I want to hear what you got going because I care for you. God cares for you. One of the toughest things I find in following Jesus, I was talking to somebody back in the back room a little bit earlier, is it's kind of like unlearning what I've been learning. And it's not trying not to do the bad things, it's actually trying to do the things that help me grow that's tougher than not doing something. And here we're being invited to cast all our anxiety on him. What does that have to do with talking, praying, and singing? Well, I'm talking to God. So talking, I'm praying with him. Here's what I'm also doing. I'm sharing those experiences with the people in my life. So as a disciple of Jesus, I'm in relationship. I'm letting other people in on what's going on. I can't do this by myself, and nor can you. We're not meant to do it by ourselves. We're meant to do it with God and with each other. That's where those one another's come in. That's why it says in Ephesians here, Ephesians chapter 5, it says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Speaking to one another. Here's what I do know. I believe this. We are what we talk about. I can tell a lot by a person when I listen to them talk what's important to them. And sometimes I've been around people and I get done and I go, I know what's important to that person. That person. I've been that person too. Me. Let me tell you what I've done. Admire me. Yeah, that's what. Or maybe it's sports, or maybe it's their job, or maybe it's just anything else. But I can tell a lot by a person what they talk about. When I get together with people, and I see some of you guys here, what we always talk about, I mean, Bob's right here in front of me. I see him. I've never sat down with Bob and we didn't talk, that God did not come up in that conversation and what he's doing in our lives, where we need help, what we're struggling with, what we have anxiety with, and what God's doing. And it's always, and we probably end up praying together. We talk about the things we're meditating on. And as we talk about it, it's who we become. It's who we are all the time, not what we do every now and then or once a day. Thinking and meditating, talking, praying, and singing. So number two, talking, praying, and singing. I don't sing real well, but when I'm in my truck or on my motorcycle, I'm the best singer in the world. And I sing loud. And I'm learning these new worship songs, Christian music stuff, because it took me a while to get there. I'm there now because I need those kind of words in my head. I realize that. And I sing them loud, and I want that stuff, and I eat that stuff up. So I'm talking about what I'm learning, I'm praying about it, and I'm singing it. And that's what disciples do, and that's what we just read in Ephesians. So number one, thinking and meditating. Number two, talking, praying, and singing. Number three, listening. I want to read to you one of the most beautiful invitations ever. It's in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. And this is what Jesus says. I want you to hear this for you. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Are you kidding me? Who can say that? Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. I want to hold on to that word. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is your burden light? This is your invitation as a disciple of Jesus. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke and learn from me. Listen to me. Here's what I've learned over the years. God talks about that loud. You guys hear what I said? What? God talks about this loud. God doesn't talk loud. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to hear what God has to say to you? if you want to hear what he's going to say to you, you're going to listen. I'm going to listen. That means I'm actually going to take time. You know, I've been married 27 years. I am still, my wife's not here, so I can say this. No, I'd say it anyway. I'm still in love with my wife. I'm crazy about her. I want to understand her. I want to listen to her. So I actually take time to sit with her and spend time because I actually want to hear what she's saying. Not every time, but most of the time. But even the times I don't want to hear what she's saying, I really do, because it's always going to benefit me. Do you want to hear what God's saying? So a disciple is going to listen for God. And you're going to hear God in his word. You're going to hear God as you and I interact with other believers who are maturing and knowing Jesus. So listen to Jesus and his word. And I wrote this down. Listen to mature followers of Jesus. That's what Paul was saying. What have you heard in me? What have you seen in me? What have you seen me do or say? Put that into practice. We have people like that in this room right now that have been down the road, following Jesus for years, however many years, it doesn't matter if it's 5 or 15 or 20 or 30, have experienced life and have navigated some of the most challenging, hurtful things, and they still have joy and they have something to offer. And those are the people I want to listen to. But I want to listen nonetheless. Here's one thing, I'll end this little part on this. I can show a person how much I love them by how I listen to them. I believe I bless Jesus when I listen. And sometimes I don't hear a darn thing. I sit there, I'm like, doesn't matter. I want to be a blessing to my father. I want to be a blessing to my wife. I want to be a blessing to my boys. You know, when they were little, I didn't listen worth a darn. I just told them everything, and I regret it to this day. I should have listened. So that's our other, that's our practice number three is listening. Then we're going to finish with number four is practice taking thoughts captive. So I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5 to you. So once again, Paul's saying this, this is in NIV. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not carnal, are not of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Do you think about what you think about? I'm going to say it one more time. Do you think about what you think about? For though we live in this world, things come into my mind that I do not anticipate sometimes. And actually, some of my most morbid, worst, jacked up, whatever you want to call it, thoughts, or when I'm getting ready to pray or open scripture, I'm like, are you kidding me? Or sometimes I'm just daydreaming or I'm driving down the road and I'll have a thought or a memory that comes in. We cannot control what comes into our brain from wherever that stuff comes from. What you and I have, what we can do is take that thought captive and pay attention and be disciplined. You and I can be disciplined with what you and I think about. So for me, it looks something like this. When I have yucky, bad thought, whatever comes in my brain, I take it captive. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I don't want this. And sometimes I do want it, but I'm like, nope, I do not want this. Here it is, I offer it back to you. I always offer my thoughts to him because I don't think he's necessarily gonna take them unless I wanna give them to him. So I'm like, here you go, I want your thoughts. I wanna think on something pure. I'll start singing a song. It happened to me yesterday. I was being a little grumpy. I had all these things to get done. I was loading this and I was all by myself. And I'm like, I was just getting ticked off. And I'm like, why am I getting mad? And I heard this in my head. It says, because you're acting like a servant and you hate it. That's why I was getting mad, because I was serving. I don't know if anybody else experiences that. And I was like, God. And then I was mad at myself for being mad. See, that's crazy town here. So here's what I started doing. I said, Lord, thank you that I get to do this. And I started singing a song half-hearted. I didn't mean it, but I want to take that thought captive. And I just kept at it. And things didn't get like better and the sun didn't shine and birds land on my shoulder or anything. But what happened is I knew I was doing what I was meant to do. And I found joy in it. If I would have just kept grinding It would have just been bad for anybody that was around me. Then I would have had to make sure everybody knew how much I did and why I did it and why nobody helps. Everybody been around a person like that? They're not thinking about what they're thinking about. So Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, or whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So I was looking at that and I'm going, thinking it through its logical conclusion. Whatever is true, what's true? God's true. So I'm thinking about things of God. Whatever is noble, yeah, God's noble. Whatever is right, God's always right. Whatever is pure. All this brings us back to abiding with Jesus, doesn't it? Everything, all this thinking, all this, and this is what anxiety can do for us in a sense. If we press into God, we experience this. And it's to draw us back to the Father. So when I'm thinking about these things, I'm thinking about the things of God. And it changes how I go about life. And here's the cool thing. There's a book written, and the title of the book was A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. So whether you're starting right now following Jesus, maybe you've been following Jesus for a while, but you've never thought of some of these things, and you're like, man, I'm a mess. Well, maybe you're a mess. That's fine, but guess what? A long obedience in the same direction. Day after day, we do the same things. We know who we are. We just stay at it. We bring other people into our lives. We drop the ball. We pick it back up. We keep going. This isn't a sprint. It takes time to mature. And God, I want you to hear this, God is not in a hurry. If his mercies are new every morning and he's patient with us, obviously he's not in a hurry. And he loves you, and you can cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I want to finish with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16 and 18. For me, this summarizes everything. And it says, Paul once again says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Because I've had people ask me, I don't know what God's will in my life is. I said, I do. They go like, what? I said, come here, let's look at this. Here's God's will, rejoice, pray, and be thankful. Because that's God, in all circumstances, that's God's will for you. They're like, huh? I'm like, let's just start with this and see how things work. Just practice this. Rejoicing always. Abiding in God's grace is what rejoicing is. Abiding in God's approval of you. And then talk to him all the time. See if that doesn't change anything. And then be thankful in every situation. Even if you don't feel thankful. Because that's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's the little things, isn't it? This has been a very challenging series for me because I'm a control freak by nature. I want things my way, my time. I want to look at all that stuff, and that doesn't work. And I'm learning, and it creates a ton of anxiety in me because hardly everything goes my way. And then I try harder to make it go my way, and it goes less my way, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Then I start making people my enemy in my heart. It's just how it works. Then people don't even want to hang around me. I kind of don't understand why, but then they don't. Or I begin to practice meditating and thinking about the things of God. Talking, singing, and praying. Number three, listening. And then practice taking my thoughts captive. And there's a reason we do this. I don't want to just leave it kind of, we do this because first of all, we're disciples of Jesus Christ. Second of all, the world needs us to be thinking and living this way because we have something to offer the world. And we have to have our wits about us. Paul says that, Peter says that in 1 Peter chapter 5, to be alert. You know what's going on. And who doesn't want to be around the person who's optimistic? Not that crazy optimistic where everything's always good. I don't want to be around that person either. But this legitimately sees the positive in things, sees where things are going, sees a bigger picture than just now, has an eternal perspective, a kingdom mindset, is encouraging, listens well, is patient. That's, in the words of A.W. Tozer, that's our true habitat. That's what we're meant and designed for as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's where things sing the best. So we're going to close, and you know, there's some of you out there right now, I'm going to assume statistically, that don't know Jesus, have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Today's the day. What I mean by surrender your life to Jesus is ask him to forgive you, ask him to come into your life, and all those screwed up things begin to free you from that and introduce you into relationships. That's why we do what we do here. We do small groups, we do life together, and walk as a disciple of Jesus with other people. Some of you in here have been following Jesus, but you're full of all sorts of anxiety or control issues or whatever it is, and you've been riding the fence and trying to do things your own way. That day needs to be done today, and there's a word that goes along with this. It's called repentance. In humility, to go to God and say, I'm done, I'm going to repent, I'm going to turn towards you, and I'm going to agree with you. Some of you are walking this out faithfully and imperfect, and I just want to encourage you to stay the course. We need you to stay the course. We're going to sing a song right now. I am the way, the truth, and the life is part of the lyrics. Because Jesus is the way. He's the way of doing things, the way of being. He is truth and he is life. And when we get done singing this song, we're gonna do three baptisms. Please don't leave. If scripture says that the angels rejoice when somebody comes to know Christ, if we can't sit here and celebrate that three people have surrendered lives to Jesus and are publicly letting you know that they are now followers of Christ and they're gonna die to that old life and they're gonna live new life, and we're gonna celebrate with them and we're including them into this family. And that's another thing I love about our church. When a person gets baptized, they're not doing it all by themselves. We're going to walk with them, and we're going to be disciples. We're going to love them just like people have walked with us. Father, I love you. Thank you for giving us everything we need for life and godliness. We worship you. Father, we offer our hearts, our minds, our very bodies to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.